Man, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Y'all give praise again for hearing something worthy today. You're welcome. God's done some great things today. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. That's where you stopped last week. Dr. Ward brought you there. Y'all had a great service. Thank you for what you're doing. I want to thank God that God is being loosed in this place. And I want you to know today, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, we are very straightforward and head on. We hope that you get saved. I do not apologize for that. And if that offends you, you'll just have to be stinging for a little bit, okay? Because I'd rather for you to sting than steam. That's the deal, okay? We love you so much. We want you to know this, that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We love you that much today. I want you to know that. I love you so much, and God loves you more than that. He loves you so much. He wants you to know that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be what? So what shall we preach? Go with me to Acts chapter 2, verse 22. And men of Israel, children of Israel, people of Pentecost, hear this. Listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and what does it say? Signs. How many of y'all realize God was out there? He did it. They knew who he was. Now, most of y'all know who Jesus is. If you've been to Hillview at least one time, have you heard this? Jesus wants to save you. How many of y'all heard that? Good. I'm just checking. How many of you all have heard here at Hillview? Now, you're not going to get this everywhere. There is a hell, and God doesn't want you to go there. Amen. Now, see, y'all, anytime I talk about hell, y'all get all, yeah, I don't know about it. I don't know what y'all talking about. Yeah, somebody might be offended by it. Coach Albie, they scared to preach on hell today, Coach. They scared to preach on it because it makes this generation feel bad. Because somebody ought to have busted y'all's rear ends a long time ago on the way up. And let you know there's a consequence. Let me tell you why people are scared. They're scared of a consequence. There is a consequence. And Jesus is being preached because God knows the ultimate consequence. I want you men and women to hear me. When it's all said and done, what matters? What matters? Now you'll understand why I'm crazy. When it's all said and done, what matters? Grace. When I take my last breath, there's only one thing that matters. Gary Dale, guess what it is? It ain't that me and you rolled down the road in a yellow Firebird back in our youth. We're lucky we didn't go to hell on that trip, you know? I ain't going to say any more about it. That's all I'm saying about it. It's been forgiven. Hallelujah. Amen. But watch it. I can tell you how crazy Gary Dale and I were. We went to high school together. He had a yellow Firebird. We were going to UK. Y'all know they lost last night by 1 point. I know y'all came in here looking all sad. Now listen, I got to be a UK fan right now. My daughter's going to UK. I'm a UK fan for the next 3-4 years. I'll be a fan of any school that pays for my kids. That's what I say. That's who I'm a fan of. I ain't no problem with that. Yeah, but I was watching last night. Guess what? They lost by 1 point. Guess what? So what? The earth didn't change. But hold on. Today, if you don't connect with Jesus Christ, you've lost everything. You know what gets me? I wish you all were as bothered about people not coming to know Jesus Christ as you are UK losing a ball game. I wish you'd get that kind of, oh, gosh, I want my best friend to know Jesus. Oh, man, I want to say it like it needs to be said. Oh, I want to tell somebody. I wish we had that kind of pain. You know what I mean? I want you to know that this is the real message. When it's all over, all that matters is Jesus. Am I telling the truth? Senator Wilson, I'm glad we get to call you Senator Wilson. But do you notice how that hadn't changed our relationship at all? Because I know your greater title, child of God. I don't even like people call me Pastor Ayers. That's a title. Guess what? I'm your brother in Christ. I'm your brother. Elizabeth never looked at me and said, Pastor Steve. You should, but no, you know. I ain't going to tell you what she said, all right? It's to live this life. I believe this. Everyone, listen, I believe that you got to know where your staff believes. I believe this. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord can be saved. I believe that. I'm a preacher that believes that. I believe nobody gets left out. I believe that if you call on the name of the Lord is powerful enough to save you. You say, Pastor Steve, you don't understand. I've done this, this, and this. No, you don't understand. God is more powerful than our mistakes. But now hold on. You got to respond to God. Now, this is where we fall short. Young people, I love y'all, man. I want y'all to have great lives. You better listen. There's a lie stinging in this generation. It's a lie that I can do whatever I want to do and everything's going to be all right. Tony, I'm calling on you just because you got a few, not a lot of gray hair, but you got a few. You got enough to say I've been there once, all right? I got those. Tony, is that true? Is it true on this, though, that I can just do whatever I want to do in life and it's not going to have a consequence? That's a lie. You're going to have a consequence, amen? What about it, girls? Is it going to have a consequence? Kelly, what about it? Is it going to have a consequence? How many of y'all have lived long enough that there is a consequence? All right, good. Now, we got young people in here. Here's the part about being young. I was young. When I was young, guess what? I really believe this. I was going to be the exemption to everybody else. Anybody else had that thought before? I was going to run my credit cards up and they were going to get everybody else, but they're not going to get what? Any of y'all ever thought that? How many of y'all ever said this? Well, they'll arrest everybody else, but they're not going to what? Yeah, they will. How many of y'all find out you stay in the same jail everybody else did? Well, see, here's the good news. You'll end up going to the heaven that Jesus has prepared. Look at what Peter preached. This Jesus, this is the one. You've seen it. You've heard it. You've been a witness to it. You've seen his miracles. You've seen his wonders. You've seen his signs. But did that do anything for you? No. Look what it said. This man was, verse 23. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge. And by the hands of what? Wicked men. We put him to what? Death. By nailing him on a what? Cross. Now let me show you something. Is everybody listening right now? We didn't kill Jesus. God let Jesus die. Now, this is too much for the world today. Some of you who deal a lot with only lateral relationship, you're looking at me and say, you mean to tell me, Pastor Ayers, that God Almighty, the creator of all things, allowed his son to be killed? No, I'm not saying that. I'm telling you, he killed him. And that bothers us. And we say, how could a parent kill a child? Because our love is limited no matter how good it is. And God loved us so much that he saw past what we thought was right to make eternity right. It's a love deeper than I can imagine. That God would give himself to be what? An atonement, and not only an atonement, but you know what Jesus was? I want you to see how deep this is. Jesus is the substitute of my consequence. Now you understand? He died so we didn't have to. Y'all get that? Somebody get that? Now you can't get this on your own. Somebody say, I'm listening. Because some of y'all still going to try to do this. Well, Lord, I'm going to be real good and then you'll approve of me. This is not a credit card. This is salvation. It comes from Christ to you. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. Why? Because guess what? What is impossible with us is possible with God. I could just stop right there and preach all day, though. But I'm going to preach just a little while. How many of y'all are glad to know that you are possible in Christ? Somebody need to hear that? See, this stuff works. You are possible in Christ Jesus. Don't tell me you can't be saved. I don't want to hear it. I'm not going to hear it. I'm not going to hear it. When you come to me and say, Pastor Steve, God won't save me. I said, you won't call on his name. You won't ask him to forgive you. If you don't, a lot of times when people struggle with their salvation, you know why? You won't give in. Salvation is about you giving in to what God has said, not telling God what you're going to do. It's not like cutting a deal. And God does laugh at us. You know what? How many of y'all have ever been run up into a situation where you cut a deal with God? How many of y'all have tried to cut a deal with God? Usually when I'm about broke, I tell God, I'll never do this again. Or how many of y'all have ever made God a list of promises that you'll do if he'll just get you out of this one situation? Any of y'all ever done that with God? Yeah, I've done that before. And guess what? That's not the way God works. God says, I want to come into your life and give you a new life, and I want to raise you to a new situation. Now, here's what I'm praying for today. If there be activity at the altar, that we would be raised up to new understandings. What do you think about that, Garrett? Watch this. I'm going to pick on you now that you're married. Thank God you married above yourself. That's good. I'm always proud. Most of you guys, hey, Joe, don't you be laughing. You do the same thing. Don't think I'm busting on Garrett. I am, but I'm going to get you too. Look at here. Garrett, you married beyond yourself. Watch this. Do you know more about marriage now than you did, say, about 3 weeks ago, since you're so far into it?
Realistically, probably not.
Yeah, you're 3 weeks in.
Okay, I know 3 weeks worth.
There you go. But you know a lot more than you did 2 years ago, didn't you?
Yeah.
There you go. Is it different than you thought it was going to be?
I think I had a pretty realistic expectation.
Okay, you had realistic expectations. Hey, that's cool. I was shocked when I got married. I'm still shocked. You know what I can't... Hey, Garrett, some of y'all remember this. Garrett's in that phase where your wife still adores you. Yeah. How long does that last, Larry? Here's all I'm telling you, Garrett. Embrace this right now. Yeah. Elizabeth used to look at me like, you know how women look at you like, oh. You know how she looks at me now like, oh. It's marriage. I told somebody in the office the other day, they came in, I love them. The people come in, they tell me, I mean, they've been married for like 30 years. And they go, well, we just don't have any feelings in our marriage. You're 40. You're not supposed to. You ought to be over that by now. You got commitment. You got love. You got destiny. Amen? Y'all ain't buying that, are y'all still on the feelings? No, it's about Jesus didn't make a feeling to us. He made a commitment. Look, but God, verse 24, get here, church, get here and live here. But God raised him from the dead. You see, he went to death, but God, I love verse 24, but God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep his hold on Jesus. Ah! You too! Ooh, we've been needing a little of that stir around here at Hillview. Y'all been scared of that for a while. We used to be the church crazy things happened to, and then we became the church where Hillview's calmed down. Why? There's still dead people that need to be brought. I don't know about y'all, but when I see the dead raised, it gets me all tore up. Guess what? I just saw 7 dead raised today. And in a minute, I said, yeah, I see it every day. That's why I'm crazy. So guess what that means, my little brother? Nobody can tell you what's impossible. What do you think about that? Pretty crazy, isn't it? You watch these guys square up on you, somebody square up on you, you need to warn them. And you say, you need to hold on, brother. I got Jesus in me. And if he releases out on you, this is the God that raised us from the dead. So I don't know where that leaves us in this situation. Don't know, hold on. So y'all think I'm funning. Y'all think I'm just carrying on. That's the believers nobody's seen in about 1,000 years. Now, there have been a few in the 20th century. Little old Korean brother filled with the Holy Spirit named Pastor Cho. It's over in South Korea. Dude ain't 5'6" and houses the kingdom of God inside this little Korean body. Breathe in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Now, let me tell you, this brother's crazy. You know how many's in his church? 1.5 million. I met him in L.A. Dude was coming out of his car and people were running to him. You know why? Guess what he does? Now, he does something a lot different than I do. At 3 o'clock in the morning, guess where I am? Dead. Guess where Pastor Cho is? Risen from the dead. That's the difference between he and I. 3 o'clock in the morning, you know what he's doing? Praying. He prays. And guess when he finishes praying? When he's done. He was telling us pastors this at a conference, and we was wondering when this brother gets all of his pastoring stuff done, all of his important stuff done, like taking care of all these people that are supposed to come see you. I mean, when does he get all of his preacher stuff done? And he goes, "Oh, you pastors, you think to self, how do you pray this many times and get all your pastor stuff done? I say to you, God, do pastor stuff through me. What take you 4 hours to fix on people? Lord Jesus Christ, boom, next, 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 next." He believed. He said, you, I love the way he talks. He said, "You counsel people. Me, I see Jesus. Heal, 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 heal." He said, "Counsel people not in New Testament. Heal people in New Testament." Let me tell you about this little Korean brother who loves the Lord, sold out, believes he was risen from the dead. The president of South Korea called his office one day. Secretary answered. Now, any American pastor, it don't matter who the president was, Obama, Bush, Clinton, you know, even a made-up TV president and pastors would be foaming at the mouth. The president wants to talk to me. This is the president of South Korea calling Pastor Cho's office. Secretary picks up and he says, "This is the president of South Korea," whatever his name was, you know, Chingy Chow or whoever it was for that moment of time. And he says, "I need to speak with Pastor Cho." She responds, "He cannot speak with you right now. He speaks to Most High God. After he's finished with Most High God, he'd call you later." You know why Pastor Cho has 1.5 million members in his church? Because he knows, but God has risen him from the dead. And you know what? You know what I think the difference between he and us is? We think God's been risen from the dead. We hope he's been risen. You know, we hope he's been risen from the dead. When you know he's risen from the dead, guess what's going to happen? You're going to go on and live. When you know he's risen from the dead, you can't help but tell somebody. When you know it is only God himself that can save you, you want to share that with somebody else. Because guess what he comes with? He will raise us and empower us. David said, "I know who he is." He said, you all want to talk about David. David said about him, "I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, and I will not be shaken." Come on, church. Mike, don't let them shake you in Frankfurt. You better tell the governor, "You don't know who my election partner is." And let me tell you something, Gov. He elects the elect. You know what I love about Jesus? He's not into democracy. He chooses who he chooses and does what he does, and nobody can stop him. Y'all got a God like that? See, I'm glad to have a God like that. Some of y'all are going, "Well, that sounds like a big holy bully." How about it sounds like an almighty, all-powerful God, and so that whoever calls upon his name, whoever calls upon his name, and whoever believes in him shall be saved and not perish. What about a God like that? But God raised him up from the dead. How many of y'all glad we're a risen church? You know, somebody asked me one time, they say, "Pastor Steve, how come we don't eat flat wafers in our communion?" Here's why. We on the risen side of the deal. See, before Jesus went to the cross, they had to eat that flat bread. After he came, because I wanted you to know, Mark, I want you to know, he's risen. Now, I don't want to stay too long there today because we got a Sunday coming up three weeks from now, and that's all I'm going to preach on that day. Risen! In fact, on Easter Sunday morning, guess what? You can tell them I'm preaching about. Risen! Amen. Next Easter, guess what I'm going to preach about? The Easter after that. Easter after that. Easter after that. Easter after that. Jamie preaching that one. So look at here. You ready? You ready? What does it mean to let God loose? David said, this is the one that came. It is Jesus. And once they realized that, guess what they said? What must we do? Guys, I want to challenge you today that we might live a life that the world might ask this question. What must we do? Lauren, what do you think about that? Just as you live out your life, people go, Lauren, what must we do? See, and you say it's sweet. We must follow Jesus. Michael, that you live a life so intriguing in Christ, people would ask, Michael, what must we do? What are you going to tell them? Please don't tell them to come to Hillview.
No, follow Jesus.
Follow Jesus. Chuck, that we are living it in such a way that we it's just people ask. David, is this happening in your reality? You've had people really come up to David Duncan. Y'all see him in the baptistry all the time? Y'all aren't handing him some of your cards so you don't have to do your own, are you? David's on it. You know what happened to David? David got saved. He got risen. He got cleaned up. He believes this message. Hey, listen, I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to sit here and pacify y'all anymore. There is no credit for not doing what God says do. It's time to do it. Hey, I agree with Dave Platt. I think he wrote a wonderful book. He wrote a wonderful book. And guess what? I promise you, everybody will get stuck on that book, but about everything, his central theme. 4.5 billion people don't know Jesus.
All right, now say that.
But guess where everybody will get stuck on his book? What do I need to sell? I think we're in a deeper need of what do I need to say? Nobody will tell anybody about this great Jesus. We got to start telling him. Watch this. Listen, don't in public school, you want to see public school changed? Release the story of Jesus in there.
So, Pastor Steve, it's not permissible. I tell you what, you release it and I'll back you up. I'll back you up.
Then it'll be time for the Christians to stand up and have some constitutional rights.
I'm going to say, they're violating my religious freedom.
And they are. You got permission to tell your story, but hold on. Don't tell the Muslims they can't tell theirs. See, I'm fine with everybody telling their story. I just wish we'd tell ours. Because I don't know a better story, do you? I don't know a better story. It's okay. It's okay for all religious systems to speak. I believe Jesus is the only one that tells the truth. That's me.
You say, well, Pastor, I disagree with you.
You have that privilege. Why would you believe something like that? I don't know. 2,000 years worth of proof. Life after life that's been radically changed. If religion worked, why would the Apostle Paul ever converted? He was a great Jew. He had all kinds of religion. He needed a Savior. I mean, y'all need a Savior. Well, what must we do? We got to get to that. What must we do? What must we do? What must we do, they ask. They begin to be convinced he was the one. How many of y'all believe Jesus is the one? Now watch, here's where we'll get deceived in today's times. How many of y'all believe Jesus is the one, but there's some other ones? But isn't that what's going on today? Come on, I'm being honest. Isn't that what's going on today? Watch this. I could triple the size. Listen, we'd have to have 15 services a week if I was to preach the gospel that's a current event today. Because, I mean, it's exciting. You can do whatever you want to do. Everything's going to be all right. No matter what you do matters. Come and feel good for an hour. Let me touch you with some warm, fuzzy feelies. Let me bring you into solid community. Because no matter what you decide to do, there'll never be a consequence. You know what? That'll sell. It just won't save.
Amen.
Somebody hearing me? Because here's what I'm telling you. What sells
doesn't say.
Here's what saves.
There's the cross, an empty tomb, the promise of the fulfillment of the Holy Spirit. And when the world comes to grips with the risen Jesus, they will ask the question, what must we do? What shall we do? How do I respond? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of who?
Jesus.
He said, you're being baptized into Jesus Christ. You're not being baptized into a church structure. You're not being baptized into a membership. You're being baptized into a risen Lord. Now, what saves you? Jesus. Baptism is a confession of his salvation. Baptism doesn't save you. And sometimes we're confused about that. People ask me, they'll say, Pastor Favor, I'm not saved because I hadn't been baptized. I said, no, you're not saved because you hadn't been repented of your sins. Baptism is the witness of that confession. Is everybody clear on that? You say, well, how do you know baptism won't save you? I got a friend of mine, and they said baptism saves you. I said, really? Well, then what do you do with the 500, 600 years of baptism before Jesus ever showed up? That didn't save anybody. Oh, this is what I call historical problems. Jesus is the one. Now, that's what it means to follow Jesus. That's what it means to follow Jesus. How many of y'all follow Jesus? And so, Hillview, let me tell you what we're really about. We're here to tell the world about who, Mr. Keith? Jesus. I'm not here to judge the world because guess what? I'm not permitted to do that, and neither are you. But I am here to tell you about who?
Jesus.
Now, I am going to tell you this. Jesus will have a final judgment. But who will have that judgment?
Jesus.
So if you're in him, how will the judgment go? Hey, let me let y'all in on a clue. How many of y'all found it's a little bit better to know the judge when you get a speeding ticket? Amen. I'm not saying you're getting out of it, but it might be reduced. Now, here's the good deal with Jesus, though. You don't get out of it. You get in it. You get in the new life. Judged, forgiven. How many of y'all are judged, forgiven? Well, let's close on this. What must we do? Repent and be baptized. That's what he said. That's what he meant. That's where he stayed. And let me just tell you what happened that day. I want you all to begin to believe great things can happen, greater things than you've ever seen. You know, you sat there and watched that our young people this summer, our high school kids, are going to go to Nashville, Tennessee on a mission trip. You know what? I hope it turns into a revival. I hope Chase has to call Pastor Mark up and say, Pastor Mark, I don't know what we're going to do, man. We got people baptized. We got baptized people. Hey, Mark, you got to order us four more of those portable baptisms that I know where to get them, and we need them here in 2 days. And then I want to see Mark. How are we going to do it? How are we going to do it? How are we going to do it? I said, Mark, you know, there we go. I'd love to have that problem. I would love to have the problem of securing swimming pools in Nashville, Tennessee to have a baptism service that overwhelms the city. Yeah, I'd like to call old Dallas over at Beach Bend Park. Dallas, got a problem. We got 10,000 to baptize. Can we have the water slide next Sunday? Wouldn't that be cool, water slide baptism? Have Jamie up on the front end, another pastor on the middle end, and somebody to finish you off. Start out in the name of the Father and Son. Get to the Holy Ghost in the middle and a brand new life on your way out. Hold on. John Paul, you know why that doesn't happen? You know why it don't happen, brother? I don't think we believe it can. What do you think? See, we read Pentecost like that was a one-time event. But it's not. More than 3,000 have been baptized at one time in Africa. In Korea, what's this? Even in the United States of America,
in the second great awakening, in the first great awakening. Because guess what they preached about? Jesus. Hmm? Let's be honest. I grew up with hearing a whole lot of stuff in the church and very little about Jesus. Lord have mercy, I heard more about drinking a beer than I ever did the cross and the resurrection. Or smoking a cigarette. Now, neither one of those are great decisions. We understand that. But I didn't hear about this one. The one who was sent by God, crucified by God for the forgiveness of all humanity. The one who was buried and risen. The one who is, the one who was, and the one who is to come. Because when you hear about him, you'll say, what must we do? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will do what? You will call down the salvation of God in your life. Look at what happens. 3,000 were added that day. Isn't that neat? 3,000 that day. Elizabeth, my Bible's not doing what it's supposed to do. Out, electronic demons. Look at here. I want to show you this. We're going to end on this. Apparently, generations haven't changed. The promises for you and your children and all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. I hope God calls you today, and I hope you listen. With many other words, he warned them and pleaded with them. This is 2,000 plus years old right here, this document. 2,000 plus years old. And listen to these words. Listen, see how familiar they sound. You parents, see how many times you've said this. Save yourself from this corrupt generation. How many of y'all have even said this about this present generation? Now, I'll tell you what. This is the way we do it in Kentucky. I'll tell you what now. It's kind of bad when I was a kid, but it's gotten worse. I'm telling you, it's worse. It's worse. Just hip-hop doing it. It's making it worse for us. Well, guess what our parents were saying? It's Motown. Bad, bad, bad. They saying it's rock and roll. Bad, bad. How many of y'all remember when Elvis was dirty? I mean, the pelvis shake was like a big nightmare world. I mean, I'm not lying. I know you young people, y'all came out. Elvis went 1, 2, 3. And hey, you'd have thought he'd blaspheming the Lord. I'm talking. A lady hit a skirt right up in here at that time. I'm talking below the knee, about a half inch below the knee. Hussy woman. Lord, I'm glad them people are dead. If they saw what goes for a dress today, they'd die. We'd have people blowing up all over the place. Can you imagine somebody back from that generation seeing somebody dressed up to go to a club? Boom! I mean, they blow. I mean, internal combustion. They just blow up right there on the street. They just save yourself from this corrupt what? Yeah, y'all haven't read about Rome, have you? Mm-hmm. Y'all think Rome is a nice little place? Mm-mm. They had Roman baths. Mm-hmm. And they did more than float rubby duckies in them Roman baths, okay? Mm-hmm. Because let me tell you about sin. It stinks from Genesis 3 till the trumpet will blow. Amen. And in every generation, it corrupts. It defiles. It wants to take captive. It wants to punish. It wants to oppress. And ultimately, it wants to kill. But in motion right now, there is the Word of God that constantly echoes the vibration of the cross and the resurrection throughout all eternity. And it says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, and save yourself from what is killing you. You know what Jesus says? I am the way, the truth, and the life. And those who accepted his message that day were about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Now, this is just a footnote. I know some of you young people, you've been reading these boys, and they said the church is always small, and it's in a closet where the early church started meeting, and there was only 12 people because they kept it small because it was so intimate. We do with Acts 2.
What do you do with God starting a church out with 3,000 on that day? That doesn't sound like small organization. That doesn't sound like he's hiding in a catacomb somewhere. It looks like God was out in the middle of the street, right in the middle of Times Square, going, "Hey!" Y'all don't like a Jesus like that, do you? Y'all want Jesus to be proper. Y'all want the blend into society Jesus. How are you, madam? Going to hell? What about the real Jesus that stands up in the square and says, "Save yourself. Receive me." Y'all give me a head nod. Does this sound like a good deal to y'all? See, I'm confused. I don't understand where this is a bad deal. To me, this would be a bad deal. What if God had said this? If you're good, you get to go to heaven. And if you break any of the Ten Commandments, you got to go to hell. What if we did this right now? Please leave now if you couldn't meet that qualification. I didn't keep the Ten Commandments. Did you? Don't tell me you did, because then you just broke it. Shannon, am I not telling the truth? Shannon, you broke the Ten Commandments and you a lawman. So you telling me even a lawman will break the law? You got a lot of wisdom, brother. But who forgives us? Jesus. Y'all got this? All right. I love y'all, but I love y'all so much. We don't have a lot of time to piddle around anymore. I'd like to see 3,000 today. Monty Merrick, what do you think about that? You've been in church all your life, growing up, little peanut head. Now you've grown up to a full-blown man. What do you think about that? You've heard about this Jesus, hadn't you? I got to have some men and women that want to release him. Amen. It's time. Day-day. I mean, you've hung around more than a decade with it. Amen. At least one decade. Amen. Girl, it's time. It's time. Sister Coleman, it's time. We're scared of what God might do. I'm telling you, I'm scared of what God might do. I've never seen it. Y'all ever seen it? I've never seen it. You ever seen it? Debbie, I've never been. I have never been in a preaching event where 3,000 received Jesus Christ on that day. Now, I went to a Billy Graham crusade, but they got a lot of plants in that deal. A lot of them people walking forward, they walking forward so other people walk forward. I'm talking about 3,000 screamed out into the crowd and said, "Lord Jesus, what must we do?" And guess what he said? Repent and be baptized. Whoa. That must be the most important thing ever. What do you think? Yes. It is to me. Amen. Now listen, I'm going to frustrate you at Hillview. I don't know anything more important than this. So when you ask me to go deeper, I don't know what you're asking for. So here's what you're really asking your pastor.
Pastor, I would rather for you give us some psycho mumbo jumbo that sounds sophisticated than to tell you about an old rugged cross. Because if the psycho mumbo jumbo was important, I wonder why that wasn't preached on the first day of Pentecost. Because I've never heard anybody who's really embraced their dysfunctional family that's looked up to God and said, "What must I do next?" Some of y'all are using your dysfunctional family to excuse yourselves from taking on a great, incredible life in Christ. You think you're unique. How many of y'all had parents? How many of y'all had parents? Very good. You grew up in a dysfunctional family. Because guess what your parents are? Dysfunctional. Blake, didn't you grow up in a dysfunctional home? Didn't your father dysfunctional? When you didn't do what I asked you to do, I could get real dysfunctional, couldn't I? I'm a human being. Blake could tell you this. There was even times when he grew up. He was growing up in the midst of, with me, I had to go back to him. I said, "Blake, man, I messed up. I went a little bit overboard on this situation, and you're going to have to forgive me." He'd look at me, and he'd go, "I don't know why you go overboard." I said, "Well, I apologize for it." He said, "Just try not to do it next time. Go overboard." Yeah. "Well, I try not to do it." Watch this. I really want to help y'all. We got to get better. When you mess up, you ought to try to get better the next time. Make sense? The grace of God helps us start walking out of the things that are killing us. It doesn't leave us in the things that are killing us. All right?
Well, let's pray. Y'all ready? Y'all got this today? Would y'all hang around if 3,000 people need to be baptized?
Yeah.
What if Jamie had to baptize 1,500 of them and he passed out at 1,599? I'd love to see that. I'd love to pull Jamie out of that baptistry, passed out because he baptized too many people. Well, I couldn't pull him out. Jeff would. Man, what a story. Pastor passed out, baptized too many, arms cramped. John Paul, I bet that one hadn't been written in 500 years. What do you think? Clay Smalling, you ever seen that? You've been in church all your life, hadn't you? Your mama took you, didn't she? Got that little knot head right there. I tell you what, Clay Smalling, you better listen to the Lord. Because, boy, if you don't, he and I both going to get you. You know what you call mamas like that? Mamas. You know what you call daddies like that? Daddies. Because guess what they want for their children? Salvation. Sound familiar? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, God's son, shall become a son or daughter of God. That's a good heavenly deal. Let's stand together. As you come today, I ask that the Lord will call you to understand that you need to be forgiven. If you haven't been baptized, I hope that you will deeply consider this. It's an act of obedience. I hope that you will come and not be shy today. If you've never asked Christ into your life, I hope you will ask Him into your life. You say, why do you do this every Sunday, preacher? Because every Sunday there's somebody new here who needs it. I hope y'all are excited about it. You seem to be, and if not, go ahead and con me on this one. You ought to be excited about people coming to know Jesus. Every one of you, every time. Because guess what? This is the only thing that happens that you and I can't make happen. I can do a Bible study, give you some knowledge, but only the Spirit of God can draw a soul to salvation. Only God. So let's let God draw, amen? So if you need to come, you come tell Christ, Lord, here I am. I want to be connected to you. You don't have to have a fancy prayer. This one saved a lot of people. Jesus, help. And he'd take it from there, amen? If you don't understand, listen, we got beautiful counselors here, pastors. We got people at the altar that want to talk to you, pray with you, and love on you. If you need to receive Jesus here today, if you need to be healed, come on up here and pastors will pray over you for healing. Watch this. Here's a good way to break an addiction. Dear God, I want to get rid of this. Wonder what do you do with that kind of prayer? You think God's going to go, smoke another one? You think he would say that? See, you put Jesus in the deal, he works. You got to try this one. Jesus, you think I ought to run around with my wife? What would Jesus say? There you go. Say, Jesus, why not? He said, you'll go broke. You're breaking covenant. You're going to crush your existence. See, if we just asked Jesus, we'd stay in a lot of trouble, wouldn't we? Jesus, you want me to go deep in debt? What would he say? Wow. Maybe he truly is risen to a new life. Let's pray. Lord, you've brought some loving people into this place who love you and you alone. God, I pray right now in a calling way, in a deep way, that every person from the back of the balcony to this front row, that the Holy Spirit would draw salvation in us and through us in this room. That if anyone does not know Christ, they may pray right now and say, Lord, here I am. Today, I'm the whosoever will. And Lord, I ask you to come into my life and forgive you. Forgive me, Lord, of all my sin. I'm going to tell you, he'll love you. He'll heal you. He'll take away everything that's wrong. And he will put a pathway to righteousness and activate it. Today, how many of you believers, man, you followed Jesus for years, you know for years, but you really haven't really stepped into what might happen. How many of y'all need to step into what will happen? So listen, people are already coming to the altar. Thank God they are. This is the Holy Spirit. Don't miss out on this today. You know, don't miss out on this today. Sean, I'm excited that in our church, I have to keep people aware that this is a fresh deal. But I am excited. Listen, I'm glad to know that people coming to the Lord is a routine here. But here's what I want you to know. You better never take it for granted. You want me to tell you what the con job is here at Hillview? We'll see 4 or 5 people come. Guess what? God likes to see 400 or 500 come. Now that's where we're unwilling to move. You say, well, what's going to happen? We'll see 400 or 500 coming. Thousands coming. Y'all remember that naked pygmy everybody's worried about? You know the one they always ask you when they want to get Jesus? They go, well, what about that naked pygmy on the island that never has heard about Jesus? Mark, you know what? People start getting saved before too long. Guess what? You're standing right next to a naked pygmy on the island telling him about Jesus. That's how it moves. Amen? Well, Lord, this altar's open. Come on. Come on. Come on. It's open. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So in the name of Jesus, come and receive Christ and be saved. Amen.